The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
There were only four items on our list for this week: not neglecting wisdom, preserving truth, cultivating relinquishment, and training for peace. What shall we talk about today? Well, let's start with the story that frames the teaching where the Buddha names these four practices. And it's from the Majjhima Nikaya, number 140. And it features a monk named Pukkusati. The commentaries say that he was a king who gave up his kingdom in order to ordain and live a simple spiritual life. But even without that detail, it's an interesting story, what it says in the sutta. So the Buddha is traveling, apparently by himself, and he asks a potter if he can spend the night in his workshop. And the potter says, "It is not inconvenient for me, venerable sir, but there is a homeless one already staying there. If he agrees, then stay as long as you like." And the one who's already there is Pukkusati. And so the Buddha goes to him and politely asks if it's okay to share the workshop for that night. And Pukkusati says that would be fine. Now, Pukkusati was a follower of the Buddha, but he had never met the Buddha and he didn't recognize him. So remember, in this era, there were no videos, no Zoom, no YouTube, no pictures even to look at, right? So if you hadn't met somebody in person, you didn't know what they looked like. So they're both there at opposite ends of the potter's workshop. And the Buddha spends most of the night sitting in meditation. And Pukkusati does that also. And the Buddha notices and he has the thought, "Oh, this clansman conducts himself in a way that inspires confidence. Suppose I were to question him." So he asks Pukkusati who his teacher is. And Pukkusati says it's the Buddha. And the Buddha asks him if he has ever met this person that he follows or would recognize him. And Pukkusati says no. And so the Buddha thinks, this clansman has gone forth from the home life into homelessness under me. Suppose I were to teach him the Dhamma. So I think it's kind of nice that the Buddha didn't try to teach him until he knew that he was a follower. First he asks that. So then, now that he's decided, all right, Pukkusati's a follower, I'm going to teach him the Dhamma, he gives a long Dharma talk that includes the teaching on these four foundations that support an awakened person. And he goes on for a long, long time, and he's very kind of detailed, and he speaks quite profoundly. He's actually speaking about Nibbana some of the time. And so Pukkusati, I'm imagining this now. It doesn't quite say this in the sutta, but I'm imagining his eyes getting bigger and bigger, and he realizes, oh my gosh, this is the Buddha. And so when the teaching is over, he bows deeply, and he, I'm paraphrasing what he says. He says, "I'm so sorry, I didn't recognize you." And so then they have this nice connection, right? And of course, it also says that the Buddha realized that Pukkusati had a very mature mind and could understand a teaching like that. And sure enough, he has some awakening from that. So that's the part I wanted to share, because maybe one way to read this story or understand the relevance of this story is that we don't always recognize the Dharma. Things come up in our practice and we may not see what a great blessing they are, or we may not see how they're actually the fruit of our own wholesomeness, or that they're supporting the deepening of our goodness. And we don't always know what's going on in our practice while it's happening. So I want to mention then another teaching that includes these same four items. And this is the teaching that's called the Four Inspirational Blessings, which is the title of this week's series. even though that's not, those words are not in the sutta that we're talking about. So there's a Buddhist, another Buddhist teaching where the earliest version of it we have is in Sanskrit, and then it was later translated in Tibetan, so into Tibetan. So it's still used in the Tibetan tradition, and it describes what gives rise to helpful or wholesome actions in our lives. That's what the teaching is about. And it calls those things that give rise to helpful actions in our lives the four inspirational blessings. And they are the blessing of truth, the blessing of letting go, the blessing of utter peace, and the blessing of wisdom. And when I heard that teaching, something tripped in my mind and I kept kind of lingering with it. And then I realized, oh, that's the same set of four from the Pali Canon, from Majjhima Nikaya 140. We talked about these in a different order. I've talked about them in the order they are in MN 140, which is wisdom, truth, letting go, peace. And here they've just taken the wisdom and stuck it on the end. So truth, letting go, peace, and wisdom. But it's the same list. So this other teaching is things that give rise to helpful or wholesome actions in our lives. And so they're called blessings. So seeing how this list of four has persisted across Buddhist history, even when they're given a somewhat different context, it gives me some real inspiration and respect for this set of four. For me, this says it's an important teaching. And in my own practice, I have considered these four quite deeply. I remember one retreat where I just wrote down the phrases, not neglect wisdom, preserve truth, cultivate relinquishment, and train for peace. And I kind of put it out on the table where I could see it regularly. And I just kind of let them infuse the retreat and deepen on their own. And I found that in so many cases, one or the other of them was really relevant and was coming up. So, returning to Bhupusati in the Pali story and the fact that he didn't recognize the Buddha, we may not recognize certain aspects of the Dharma until we've already experienced them. So maybe there is one more blessing, which is the blessing of just doing the practice. Just doing it. We just do it sincerely as best we can. And someday we may find ourselves in the presence of the Buddha. We discover that he's right there sharing the potter's workshop with us, very close by. So, how do these four speak to your practice? Or how are they living in you after talking through them this week, doing practices that relate to them or invoke each one? And it's not that there needs to be any huge, profound realization or shift, but just an invitation to let them keep living in your heart and to trust that whichever one sort of sticks in your mind, that's probably the one that's important for you right now. You don't have to figure it out. You don't even have to understand exactly how it's all working. But part of the beauty and trust of the path is that the mind is attuned to what it needs and that things will self-correct over time and new things will come in at the right time. This path somehow moves between activity and passivity, the good side of both of those, let's say, the good side of both of those. So sometimes we need to do things, and sometimes it's better if we don't. So just check in among these four. Truth and letting go and peace and wisdom. Which one is speaking to you at this moment? It feels complete. So thank you for this week, and may your practice continue to evolve in a beautiful way. Just keep sitting in the Potter's workshop. Thank you.